Arkansas moving on at the NCAA tournament. A 97-78 win yesterday over Hawaii. Razorbacks will play High Point on Saturday night at 8:45 p.m. Central Time. That's going to be 6:45 on the West Coast. The Razorbacks and High Point, winner goes to the Sweet 16. Ethan Westerman is in Portland and he joins us now. Ethan, what were your thoughts on that win yesterday?
It honestly kind of went about how I expected. I thought that, you know, you look at Hawaii and the season that they've had, they just hadn't played the athleticism, the speed, the talent of a team like Arkansas, and that was just evident. I mean, Arkansas goes up 11-0 in the blink of an eye, and it was really just because I feel like they just kind of zapped Hawaii pretty early with just overwhelming them with how fast they were, how athletic they were. I mean, Arkansas threw down 11 dunks yesterday. I just think Hawaii hadn't seen that level of athlete. Arkansas had matchup advantages, I feel like, pretty much 1 through 5. It was a bludgeoning. I mean, what is crazy, though, is you get to this time of year, and I wrote it in the game story at WholeHogSports.com that, you know, the 19-point win was, I think, tied for sixth largest margin of victory for Arkansas in an NCAA tournament game before. It just goes to show that this time of year, like, games are just expected to be close. Even a team like Hawaii, like, normally you don't get super lopsided scores. So I think you get to this time of year, even these teams that it really was pretty much a blowout yesterday. But, like, they kept it respectable, I guess. The teams that make it this time of year are all good. And they can all, you know, keep it at least within arm's length. It wasn't an embarrassing showing for Hawaii by any stretch of the imagination. But Arkansas controlled that one. It was never really in question.
I didn't realize this until I saw it on the – there was a graphic on TV. I think right as the game was starting yesterday, Hawaii had not played one team in the NCAA tournament this year. That kind of blew my mind a little bit. I understand it's hard for them to schedule, but, you know, I think sometimes you just accidentally run into a team that's going to make the tournament in the non-conference.
Yeah, and I think there are two conference games, and I don't have their schedule in front of me. There are two power conference ones were against, I think, an Arizona State team that wasn't very good in the Big 12. I mean, they were competitive at times, but and then against Oregon, which was not good in the Big 10, and they lost both of those. So that's what kind of made me feel like Arkansas could bludgeon them a little bit, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, it was evident super early on. These Hawaii players were just like, this is a different level of team that we're facing. And then the talk going into it was really about how Hawaii kind of had this size and maybe some advantages down low with just their length, athleticism. And they kept on saying, or not really athleticism, just their length and their size. But they kept on saying ahead of the game, like, you know what, 2 points is 2 points, you know. But Arkansas, when you score 64 points in the paint, those 2 points really add up a whole lot. So I think that's what happened was Arkansas didn't really have to rely on the three ball, didn't shoot too well, was able to go right at these guys and just finish and get all these dunks up at the rim. It was a blowout.
You know, something happened in that game yesterday that stood out to me, and I wonder how much it might be a factor when Arkansas plays High Point tomorrow. It's that I didn't think Hawaii – you talked about their size, but, like, there's – it's one thing to be big, and it's another thing to have dealt with quickness. And I thought Arkansas's ability to jump into the passing lanes and its ability to recover and block shots. Like, I think about the block that Trevin Brazil had on a three-pointer out of bounds during, yeah, I can't remember if it was first or the second half, but I'm sure you remember the play where it went right into the media table. It just looked like Hawaii hadn't experienced anything like that athletically. And you've heard High Point's coach talk about, hey, we haven't been able to get the high majors to schedule us because they're concerned about losing to High Point in the regular season. I wonder if that might be a little bit of a factor tomorrow, too. I know High Point just beat Wisconsin, but I think there's a difference in athleticism between Wisconsin and Arkansas.
Yeah, no, I look at this matchup with High Point, and it's two teams, Arkansas and High Point, that love to get up and down the court. And a lot of times this year, I think you can the real oddball is that Georgia game. That's a team that wanted to run and get up and down. And Arkansas, when you play a team that is trying to accomplish kind of the same thing, Arkansas's talent just kind of takes over, I think, a lot of times. I thought that it was a kind of a contrast with them in Wisconsin to where High Point maybe, you know, just played that matchup game to where they were able to kind of win with their style. I think with Arkansas, it's going to be I'm expecting a game where both teams score like 80s, 90s. Should be a high-scoring game. A lot of up and down action. But yeah, it is hard for those teams like High Point because, I mean, they were coming off a really good year last year, and I don't think many Power Conference teams wanted any part of them because that could be a potentially, you know, damaging loss. But yeah, there is something to be said about you haven't played a lot of Power Conference teams. So Arkansas is going to be by far, in my opinion, the fastest, most athletic team that High Point's played yet.
When you've got a short bench like Arkansas has, you need everybody to be playing well. They didn't have Nick Pringle in the game yesterday, although I think he could have played if they needed him. They didn't need him, so he didn't play. They go with the short rotation. Look at the stats. I mean, Acuff had 24 and 7 assists, just kind of you know, a normal day at the office for him. Blake Thomas, 21 points. He had 5 assists, a little bit of a higher assist total for him. Trevin Brazil, 19 points. I thought Malik Ewan may have played his best game as a Razorback. 16 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, had a couple of steals. I think he blocked a shot. They got 10 points from Billy Richmond and kind of the typical, you know, hustle plays that you've come to expect from him. And, you know, you're at a point and you don't even realize that Nick Pringle's not out there. It felt like about 4 or 5 minutes into the game, and it never felt like they missed him. Just a really good all-around effort, I thought, by the Razorbacks.
Yeah, exactly. And that was – I asked a lot of the players about that in the locker room. Just what does it mean to get the tournament started with a game where everybody who touched the floor did something good? That was the thing about Arkansas's performance yesterday. It's like they got contributions from everyone. DJ Wagner, I thought, played a good game. He was aggressive, attacking the rim, defended well. It was just the type of game that it was hard to, like, point at real deficiencies. I know Hawaii got hot and made a few three-pointers to close the gap within 10, I think, late first half before Arkansas had that just dunk fest to close the half, and it was never really in question again. But that was the type of game that it was really hard to point out, like, anything that went overly wrong. You know, it only gets harder from here, though. So Arkansas definitely wants to have Nick Pringle back in the rotation. There's no question about that. But for their first game to not have him and to be able to rest up, I mean, think about it. This is a guy who is in his fifth year. How much would that stink to have your career end in a game that you can't even play in? And it's like the team just had his back, it felt like. And it kind of – I'm sure he was probably, you know, he was listed as questionable. He probably could have played had they just needed him to. Like, it gets that thin. But, I mean, they wanted to play it safe because I think they thought they could beat Hawaii without him. And obviously that was pretty clear once the game started.
Hey, when it comes to your game day, you want the best in your lineup. That includes your eggs. Eggland's Best delivers more of the nutrition you need with 6 times more vitamin D and 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. You can score now with Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for more information. You know, you mentioned the dunks, by the way. I wanted to circle back to something real quick. Arkansas scored 64 points in the paint, and it feels like, Ethan, hadn't there been, I don't know, 5 games or so this year where they've gone well over 50, maybe even over 60 in the paint? I mean, this feels like this is a team, and the dunks play a factor in it. I get it. But it seems like they're a team that's really when they're clicking – they're buying in, they're moving the basketball, they're getting it down low, they're putting it on the floor, getting it to the rim. I think that's maybe the strength of this team is whereas, you know, like, I think that they're a lot more willing to get to the basket as opposed to, you know, spot up and shoot threes.
Yeah, I think that honestly it's whenever they're at their best. It just looks different, though. Like, I think that teams started maybe adjusting how they defended the Razorbacks where, you know, they weren't getting the super high points in the paint all the time down the stretch at the end of the regular season, but they were still beating teams. It's like, because they can shoot, they're capable. I think that when they look their best, like yesterday, though, it's whenever teams are playing them to where they are going to get those, you know, real lanes to the rim. And I thought it was important against Hawaii that's a team that led the nation with, like, I think 9.3 assists allowed per game. That was the fewest in the nation. Arkansas ends up with 26. It's like, they just were on the attack, throwing lobs, finding the open guy. They were just – it was just all clicking on all cylinders. And I think that it really kind of took a lot of life out of Hawaii that stretch at the end of the first half whenever they got those lobs and dunks. That it just, like – it was just clear, like, this is a team that you probably can't have. And, yeah, they've had some crazy high points in the paint games, and yesterday was the third most in program history.
That's amazing. And they had 64, I think, against LSU during a game earlier this season. So, and like I said, I know there have been some others. I think South Carolina was one of those where they had a really high number, maybe Vanderbilt in the regular season as well. You were there for the High Point Wisconsin game yesterday. I wonder what you thought about watching High Point in person.
Man, they are impressive. I think anytime you get to the tournament and you see a team that's won 30 games, you have to take them serious. Because, listen, metrics, analytics, all this stuff, that's awesome. Like, you know, pay attention to those too, but take them with a grain of salt. If there's a team that's won 30 games, they're a good basketball team. I don't care what level you're playing on. If you've won 30 games, you're doing a lot of things. I thought that that was it was just clear early on that that High Point was a team that's used to winning. It was a team that knows how to finish games. And obviously they finished well against Wisconsin. They have a bunch of shooters. The guys are not afraid to pull the trigger. I think they took 40 plus threes. I mean, it's a type of game that Arkansas is going to have to be on its P's and Q's defensively, because they like to get up and down. They have a lot of capable shooters. They're athletic. They were way more athletic than Wisconsin, just top to bottom. Wisconsin had a couple good guards that were pretty athletic, but I mean, High Point's whole team can fly. It just stood out to me that it's going to be a real up and down game with High Point. That tempo is going to be make for some fun offensive basketball. It's going to come down to, I think, which team can defend a little bit better.
But I feel like whenever you get the pace at that, or you know, the pace at that level, that's what Arkansas wants to play at. I mean, it feels like their best games this year have been, you know, whenever they average so many, you know, possessions per game. That's not going to be a problem when you're playing High Point, who I think ranks first nationally in shots per game.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you think about it, what's the one game that Arkansas really got a scare in non-conference play against a mid-major? It was against a Winthrop team that had to make like 15 threes in that game. That's how many High Point made yesterday. If High Point can replicate that type of three-point making against the Razorbacks, it's going to be a game. Yeah, no team makes 15 three-pointers and they're out of it. I think that Arkansas just needs to avoid that type of game, though. But, I mean, even against Winthrop, they showed that they can win a game, even with a team, you know, making that many threes pretty uncharacteristically for Winthrop. I mean, Winthrop was banking them in at times.
Yeah.
But I just think that Arkansas is going to need to have a really good defensive game. And you cannot let – there was a lot of shots that High Point took that Wisconsin just had hands down, and it was hands down – man down, burying a three. I think Arkansas has got to kind of, you know, be shot ready to defend it pretty early on, because High Point is not going to be afraid to pull the trigger, and they can all shoot.
You mentioned Winthrop. Ironically enough, same conference, Big South, as High Point, and High Point went 2-1 this year against Winthrop, lost to them at Winthrop back in January, beat them in the rematch in North Carolina by 2, and then beat them at the conference tournament by 15 a couple of weeks back. I want to tell you that the podcast brought to you today in part by Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They're committed, professional, and versatile. You can choose Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. Come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville, or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Ethan, I want to give you a chance to tease a story that you're working on right now, kind of a neat deal. There's a player at High Point, Caden Miller, who he's got some ties to the Razorbacks, right?
Yeah. Mother Danielle played for the women's basketball team. Father Caleb played for the football team under Houston Knight. He was a really good linebacker. She was a really good basketball player, too, out of Harrison, highly recruited, actually recruited by Gary Blair to go play for the Razorbacks. And then he left for Texas A&M before she could begin her career at Arkansas, but stuck with her commitment. He actually was going to be fine with her going to Texas A&M with him, but she was like, I can't do this. I'm from Harrison. I want to be a Razorback. So a couple former Razorbacks, their son is now going to play the Razorbacks here in a chance to go to the Sweet 16. It's a really cool story, because Caden Miller grew up in Bentonville, just moved out to near the Cincinnati area, actually just across the state line in Kentucky, to play his senior year of high school, then played a year of prep ball at OTE, Overtime Elite in Atlanta, played against Malik Thomas at OTE, and then also growing up played with Isaiah Seeley some at Fulbright junior high in Bentonville. This is a kid who grew up watching the Razorbacks. His parents were Razorbacks. Just a really neat deal. And what are the odds? Is the kind of the story of this? Like, what are the odds that this kid would be, you know, facing Arkansas at this stage?
Yeah, it's a neat deal. I think they got a player on their team too who played for Calipari at Kentucky, or had been recruited to Kentucky to play for him. I don't know if he ever actually ended up playing for him there. So there's a couple of ties in this game. Caden Miller, he's a role player, doesn't play a whole lot. He averages about 7 minutes a game, about 3 points per game, but still a really neat deal where you got mom and dad who were Razorbacks. Caleb Miller, of course, a great linebacker linebacker who played a decent number of years in the NFL for the Cincinnati Bengals. What do you think the key is to Arkansas beating High Point?
I think Arkansas win the style war. Like, it's going to be both teams wanting to do the same thing, but just be the better team at it. And I think we've seen that a lot of times this year, that if you try and go blow for blow with Arkansas athletically, Arkansas is way talented. Like they're going to let their talent take over and usually win that matchup. I think the one game I look at where that didn't happen per se was against Georgia, mm-hmm. where Georgia kind of controlled things. I think that just kind of stick to how you've been all year, to where if a team's going to try and win the pace game with you, just be the team that doesn't turn it over, and you usually win. Arkansas has been really good at playing with pace and not turning it over. And I think that that's going to be a big key on Saturday night, is can you play at that speed and continue just to be who you are, like a low turnover team that flies down the court, that gets a lot of dunks, a lot of points in the paint. I think that's going to be important. And then I'd say secondary, just how do you defend, you know, the 3-point line, because High Point's going to get its shots up. And I think that if High Point's going to have a fighting chance in that game, I think it's going to mean they knock down a lot of threes. So Arkansas has got to be good on the perimeter. I just think that it's the type of game that if you're Arkansas, you got to be wary of a hot mid-major that just won its first game. Like, you cannot overlook these guys. Mm-hmm. You overlook them, that's how you get to be toast, I think, in the postseason. But that being said, I mean, what are the odds that Arkansas would have this string of, is it like 5 games in a row where their paths in the postseason are against teams that maybe you weren't expecting to see? Mm-hmm. You know, they've had some things fall their way between the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament, as far as teams that on paper you really should beat.
Real quick, looking around the SEC in the NCAA tournament, Vanderbilt won yesterday. SEC's 5-1 as we record this. Vanderbilt beat McNeese 78-68 yesterday in Oklahoma City. Of course, the Razorbacks won. A&M beat St. Mary's 63-50 yesterday in Oklahoma City. That sets up a really interesting second round matchup between A&M and Houston tomorrow in Oklahoma. Texas, where you are, Ethan, beat BYU 79-71 yesterday to move on. Tremont Mark hit another big shot for Texas at the end of the first half, this time a buzzer beater. A BTA game, Georgia and St. Louis. I mean, St. Louis took Georgia out to the woodshed. Ended up only being a 25-point game, but I think St. Louis was up by about 40 in that one at one point. So that's the SEC's lone loss to this point. Today, just before we began recording this, Kentucky with a miracle win over Santa Clara. Kentucky hit about a 35-foot three at the buzzer in regulation to force overtime, and they win 89-84. The rest of the games today, Hofstra plays Alabama in Tampa. Tennessee plays Miami of Ohio. I know a lot of people really interested in that game. In Philadelphia, Florida plays Prairie View A&M in a 116 game. And Missouri, really interesting, they get to play basically at home in St. Louis against Miami later tonight. That's one of the late games on Friday night. What did you think about the SEC so far?
Yeah, a lot of, you know, advanced analytics, metrics, whatever, kind of agreed that the SEC was still, I mean, they didn't have really the heavyweight dog until the end with Florida, whenever they kind of established themselves as being a really good team. But a lot of people questioned these metrics that said the SEC was top to bottom, maybe the top conference. I think you're starting to see maybe there's some legs to that. That, you know, of course, Georgia getting absolutely pummeled aside, the SEC has been, I don't have all the conference records in the tournament in front of me at this moment, but I would have to think the SEC, as far as our four conferences go is doing as good as anybody.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Maybe you don't have the elite teams that are like, wait till we see what the Elite Eight Final Four representation looks like. But you have a lot of teams that are proving that they're among the 32 best teams in the country at minimum. I'll be curious to see how many SEC teams make it to the Sweet 16. But you'd have to think if you have this many advance out of the first round, you know, there could be a good percentage of the Sweet 16 that's made up of SEC teams. But yeah, I think it's a conference that maybe got a little bit disrespected, because I don't think anybody was flat out saying that the SEC was down necessarily. It's just whenever you put it in comparison with the year before, whenever it was maybe the best any conference has ever been, top to bottom, it makes it look a lot worse. But I think that we're seeing in the postseason that the SEC still has a lot of good teams, a lot of good athletes that are honestly, from all the games I've seen, it's kind of similar to what happened with Arkansas. There's just so much athleticism in the SEC that really gets put on display when it gets matched up against a team from another conference.
A few quick notes before we get out of here. Just wanted to mention that Darius Acuff passed Kareem Reed yesterday in single season assists by a Razorback. So he's got the record. We'll see how much further he can go and how many more of those he can add to that record. And Ethan, he's within, what, about 6, 7 points, 8 points maybe of passing Todd Day for the single season scoring record. So, I mean, you would think that he would probably do that in the high point game. And then John Calipari yesterday, it was his 60th career NCAA tournament win. That moves him into fourth all time. He had been tied with Roy Williams for fourth, so now he's in fourth all alone. Tell me if I'm wrong, Ethan. Have you looked this up? I think that number may not be the number of on-court wins. I think the NCAA docks him some for those teams at Memphis and UMass that made the Final Four, where they ended up, basically taking their tournament runs away from them.
Yeah, I'm not sure if those have wins deducted, but Calipari right now is on his high horse about the NCAA, multiple things not working in his favor. What was he complaining about he was curious about the second round tip times or something?
Well, yeah, I mean, after the game, he said he's on one against the tournament selection committee for sending him to Portland. And after the game, he said the committee must have not known that we're a good afternoon team. And he told Jared Greenberg, the sideline reporter, he said, I probably shouldn't say that. He said, because now you know what they're going to do. They're going to give us a night game Saturday. Well, lo and behold, Arkansas plays the late game on Saturday night, 8:45 central tip-off.
Yeah, well, Calipari's on his crusade against the NCAA and its selection process with all this stuff, and it's kind of funny. So it would be funny if this number about the tournament wins is taking into account or isn't taking into account some of them that actually happened on the court, because the NCAA took those away from him too.
I just think about it.
It's funny to see him get so riled up about this stuff.
60 wins seems awfully low for someone who's had the success that he has had in the tournament. I mean, you think about it. He had 6 in 1 year winning a national championship with Kentucky. He had 5 in another year taking Kentucky to a national championship game. I have to believe that's not taken into consideration, those runs that he had at at UMass in 96 and at Memphis in 08. That'll be something, Ethan, we can stick you on that and have you investigate that this afternoon. Appreciate you being here. Have fun in Portland. We'll talk to you in a couple of days.
Yeah, hopefully, maybe we can run it back next week with some more preview.
Yeah, very possible. Arkansas, you gotta like Arkansas's road right here, at least to the Sweet 16, playing a high point team that, again, they're dangerous. They've got the nation's longest winning streak. They've won 15 in a row, but they are a 12 seed. And Arkansas, a 4 seed. Razorbacks about an 11-point favorite going into this game tomorrow. Again, it's going to be an 8:45 p.m. tip-off Central Time. Razorbacks playing in Portland, so it'll be 6:45 local time there. If the Razorbacks win, they go to the NCAA Tournament Sweet 16 next week in San Jose, California. We're going to have it all covered for you at WholeHogSports.com this weekend. Of course, Razorback baseball at South Carolina. We're going to have coverage from that. Razorback softball here in Fayetteville against UConn. A lot of things going on over on the Hill, even though it's spring break here in Fayetteville. Hope that we see you at our website or back here on our next podcast.